I'm asking you to open your Bibles today to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to be reading verses 19 through 23. Now, my text and topic is found in verse 23. This is the title of the message, and this is the text. If we continue in the faith. If we continue in the faith. Now, my friends, do not despise the word if in regard to spiritual matters, in regard to spiritual blessings, and in regard to your relationship with the Lord God. Do not despise the word if. It occurs in the Scriptures too many times. We're taught to examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith. Every time we come to partake of the Lord's table, we're taught to examine ourselves. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat. Peter urged us to give diligence to make our calling and election sure. Someone once said, God has hedged us about on one side with promises, lest we despair. Promises. And on the other side, God hath hedged us about with warnings, lest we presume. Now, the Bible is full of promises to those who believe. Promises of mercy, promises of forgiveness, promises of God's grace and love and eternal life, that we might be encouraged to seek the Lord and to call upon His name. He is merciful. He delights to show mercy. He's plenteous in mercy. But my friend, the Bible is full of warnings. It has many warnings to those who become indifferent, to those who become careless, and to those who depart from the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, no man can claim any promise in the Scripture. Now, get this. No man can claim any promise in the Scriptures unless he, to some degree, fits the description or the character described in that promise. Now, no man, what I'm saying is this. You cannot lay claim to any promise in the Word of God unless you, to some degree, fit the character described in that promise. For example, our Lord said, all things are possible to them that believe. If you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. Listen to this. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. A man's a new creature if he's in Christ. And no man's a new creature who's not in Christ. You see what I'm saying? If we love one another, God dwells in us. If we don't love one another, God doesn't dwell in us. He that loveth not knoweth not God. That's perfectly clear. You see what I'm saying? No man. We lay hold on the promises of God and lay claim to the promises of God and say that they're ours, the promises of God. But no. They're not ours unless we, to some extent or degree, fit the character described in that promise. Listen to this. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A man who does not take his place before God as a sinner, who does not humble himself before God as a sinner in repentance, a man who does not acknowledge that he's a sinner, can find no forgiveness if we confess our sins. Listen to this. In Hebrews 3, we are partakers of Christ. Now, we'd like to have that blessing, wouldn't we? A partaker of Christ, a joint heir with the Lord Jesus, if we hold fast our confidence, steadfast and firm to the end. Listen to this scripture. Paul describes the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, I declare unto you the gospel, which you believe, which you receive, by which you're saved, if. There's that word, if. If you keep in mind, or if you hold fast to that which I preached unto you. And then John, describing the people who had left the church and departed from the believers, he said, if they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. So I exhort you and I warn you and caution you, don't despise the word if in regard to spiritual matters, blessings, and our relationship with the Lord God. Now, the Scriptures teach preservation. You know what preservation means. We're talking about the security of His sheep. We're talking about the security of those who are in Christ Jesus. God will keep His own. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Lo, I'm with you even to the end of the earth. The Bible teaches preservation. It teaches the security of God's elect or God's sheep. But my friends, the Bible teaches perseverance too. It teaches us that we will not depart from Him. No, He will not depart from us, nor will we depart from Him. The Apostle Paul says, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And every believer not only is preserved by God's power and secure in the hand of Christ Jesus, but that believer will, he will persevere. And if he does not persevere in the faith, if he does not finish his course in Christ Jesus, if he does not continue to walk in repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll perish. The Scripture teaches that. He'll perish. 1 Peter 1 verse 5 says, We're kept, there's preservation. We're kept by the power of God. That's the one who does the keeping, the power of God. But now don't stop there. There's no period there. We are kept by the power of God through faith. Not without faith, but through faith. Old Testament believers were described this way in the book of Hebrews. They died in faith. They began in faith, they walked in faith, and they died in faith. When they started the believer's journey or the spiritual life, they walked in faith. They walked with God. But they continued in the faith. They held fast to their confidence, and they died in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, my friends, I say unto you, between here and heaven, according to the Word of God, there's a gospel to be believed. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Between here and heaven, there is a gospel to be believed. And between here and heaven, there's a race to be run. We're told in the Scriptures that we're to run this race with patience, the race that is set before us. And Paul talks about the man who is crowned is the man who completes the whole course, the man who crosses the finish line. Between here and heaven, there's a fight to be fought. There's a warfare. The Apostle Paul tells us to fight the good fight of faith. There's no discharge in this war. A man does not get his discharge and go sit on the sidelines while the other soldiers of Christ engage the enemy. There's no discharge. Between here and heaven, there's a faith to be kept. We keep the faith. Between here and heaven, there's a course to finish, and there's a death to die, and there's a judgment to face. And that death must be died in faith, and that judgment faced in the confidence of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our one mediator. Now, there may be churches and preachers who will give hope and confidence to those who profess faith in Christ, who make a decision, who walk down an aisle, who join the church and are baptized, and then leave the gospel and become indifferent to the things of Christ, and leave the church, and leave the fellowship of believers. But the Word of God holds out no hope for such a man. Judas departed and stayed gone. Demas departed, and he goes on naming others. Simon Magus, Peter said, your heart's not right with God. You're in the gall of bitterness. And there may be churches and preachers that will hold out hope to men who have put their names on the line, and who have for a while even taught Sunday school or had an active part in the church, but who have left the worship of the Lord and left the gospel of Jesus Christ and left the fellowship of the saints. The Bible holds out no hope for such a person. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, now listen to it. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, God says, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. You lay the banner down. You draw back. You return like the dog to his vomit or the sow to its wallow, and God says, I have no pleasure in you. He that putteth his hand to the plow, our Lord said, and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. But Paul says in Hebrews 10, we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. And I looked that word up in the Greek concordance, and that word is damnation. That word is destruction. That word is death. We are not of them who draw back unto damnation, but we are of them that believe and continue to believe to the salvation of our souls. What am I saying? I'm saying this. We are of the household of Christ if we continue in the faith. We're children of God if we continue in the faith. We have a hope of eternal life, and we have an inheritance undefiled, reserved in heaven, that fadeth not away, if we continue in the faith. That's what the Scripture teaches. I know we're hedged about with promises, lest we presume, and without the promises of God, we would despair. We're hedged about with promises, lest we despair. And if we didn't have them, we would find no hope. But my friend, don't presume on the mercies of God. We're hedged about on the other side with warnings, and our Lord warns us, take heed, brethren, lest there be found in you an evil heart of unbelief. He says those people that left Egypt and journeyed across that wilderness for 40 years, of that entire bunch, only one person besides Joshua, who was over 20 years of age when they came out of Egypt, entered the promised land. Why didn't they enter in? He says they could not enter in because of unbelief. They started the race, they ran for a while, but they ceased to believe. They laid down the banner, they turned their backs and walked away. Listen to the text again, Colossians 1:19. For it pleased the Father that in Jesus Christ should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes or at one time alienated and enemies of God in your mind by your wicked works, yet hath he now reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, that he might present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Doesn't that sound good? It is good. It is beautiful. What a treasure. What a blessing. But the sentence is not over. There's a comma there. If you continue in the faith. If you continue in the faith. Grounded and settled. Now watch it. And be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. My friend, I preach what this book says, what God's word declares. And God's word declares that there's no hope, there's no salvation. And we're not to cry peace, peace, when there is no peace, to those who turn their backs on the gospel of Christ, no matter how zealous or enthusiastically they followed it at one time. If they turn their backs on Christ, John said, they never were of us. Not truly, they never were of us. Because who can turn back to eat with the hogs when he's eating with the king? Who can turn back to a life of shame and unhappiness when he walked with Christ in a life of holiness and beauty and truth? A man who's really seen the face of Christ, how can he be content to look upon ugliness and evil? A man who has walked with God can never be content to walk with any less than God. So if they had been of us, John said, really truly of us, with a regenerated heart and a new mind and spirit, they would have continued. All right, here are five tremendous truths that I want to present to you from this text. If you would like to, I wish you'd open the Bible to Colossians, the first chapter. And let's look at these verses just almost line after line. That's the way we're to preach it, line upon line, precept upon precept. But it says here in verse 19, Colossians 1, it pleased the Father that in him, that in Christ, should all fullness dwell. Now, my friends, what is all fullness? It says, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What is all fullness? Well, it's all things pertaining to God for me. It's everything I need pertaining to God. It's everything I need pertaining to a relationship with God. It's found in Christ. None of it's found in me. None of it's found in the church. None of it's found in the water. None of it's found in the elements. Everything I need, all fullness is found in Christ. And that fullness is all blessings. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ. It's all truth. Christ said, I am the truth. It's all love. God loves us in Christ. It's all righteousness. The righteousness of God is in Christ. It's all mercy. You're complete in him. It's all sanctification and holiness, all grace and all life. That's all fullness. It pleased God that all fullness should dwell in Christ. Where is this fullness? It's in Christ. He's the only one who can contain it. No other creature can contain all fullness. No angel, no man. Not all of them. Only Christ can contain all fullness. It's all found in him. He's infinite. Infinite, everlasting, incomprehensible. And he's the only one who can retain it, all fullness. And he's the only one with the wisdom to distribute it. Yes, all fullness is in Christ. Why is it in Christ? All this fullness, this blessing and truth and love and righteousness and sanctification and redemption and mercy, why is it all in Christ? Tells us here, says it pleased the Father. You know, they said to David, they said, where is your God? These heathen, they knew where their gods were. Their gods were all fixed up, you know, and sitting in their shrines and temples and places of worship, and they never moved, having no eyes they couldn't see and ears they couldn't hear and legs they couldn't walk. They safely where they put them, where they left them. And they said, David, where's your God? He said, our God's in the heavens. Tell us about him. He hath done whatsoever he pleased. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven, earth, and the seas, and all deep places. It pleased God to make you his people. It pleased God to bruise Christ on the cross. That's what Scripture says. It pleased God, Paul said, to reveal his Son in me. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And it pleased God that all fullness should dwell in Christ. Everything I need is in Jesus Christ. All fullness. When? Well, it dwells there. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. It always has been there. It is now and it always will be. Never exhausted, never diminished. All fullness dwells. That's where you'll find it, dwells in Christ Jesus. All right, look at the next verse, verse 20. Having made peace through the blood of his cross. Now, we're talking about peace with God here. We're talking about peace with God. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We hear so much preaching today about the love of God, we tend to forget, my friend, that God's angry with the wicked. The wrath of God abideth upon the ungodly. That's what the Scripture says. God's justice and God's righteousness and God's holiness cry out. Cry out for death. The wages of sin is death, and God's justice and holiness cry out for death. There's war between heaven and earth. But it says that through Christ and through the blood of his cross, we have peace. Peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, I have peace with God. The war is over. I've surrendered. God Almighty has given peace through Christ Jesus. Through the blood of his cross, justice was satisfied. Peace was bought at an awful price. We're not only talking about peace with God, but we're talking about peace with ourselves. Peace of heart and conscience. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Christ. If I believe on him and trust in him, if I know in him dwelleth all fullness, and everything that God requires of me, that God's righteousness demands and God's justice requires, if I know that it's in Christ, safely dwelling in Christ, and God's demands are met in Christ, then my heart can dwell at peace. Now, if I'm always thinking that maybe I'm not saved, maybe I haven't done enough, maybe I haven't worked enough, maybe I haven't given enough, maybe I've sinned too much, maybe this, maybe that, I can have no peace. But in Christ, I can have peace. Now, the believer cannot know anything about peace. He's at war with heaven. And he can cry, peace, peace, God says, when there is no peace, but peace is in Christ. Peace with God and peace of conscience and heart and peace with one another. It's found in the Redeemer. All right, look at the next line. He says that we have peace with God. All fullness is in Christ. Now, watch this. And you, of all people, you Gentiles, heathen, pagans, and you that were alienated, strangers, foreigners from the commonwealth of Israel, you who were enemies of God, in your minds by your wicked works, he's reconciled. God has reconciled. God's reconciled to us. He's reconciled. Now, reconciliation takes two directions. If there's enmity in warfare, reconciliation takes two directions. First of all, God was in Christ, reconciling us to himself. God looks upon us through Christ with favor and mercy and love and grace. See, he's reconciled. He's not angry anymore because Christ has fulfilled all that the law requires and all that justice demands, and God's at peace with us. The Apostle Paul, when he was Saul of Tarsus, he's one of God's chosen. He was one of God's own. He was one of God's sheep, even when he was in rebellion, even when he was denying the gospel and fighting against heaven and fighting against Christ and fighting against the gospel. God was reconciled to him by the death of his son. But you see, Saul wasn't reconciled toward God. So the Holy Spirit, now here's the other direction that reconciliation takes. God was in Christ. God came down here in the person of his son and reconciled us to himself. And peace was made, was bought, was purchased by the death of his son, by the blood of his cross. But you see, we still got that enmity in our hearts. We still got that hatred. We still got that self-will and self-righteousness and that ego and pride and haughtiness and arrogance. It's still there. We're still at war with heaven. But we may have our own idea of God, you know, and worship it. We may have our own idea about what the Bible says. Well, my Bible says this. My God wouldn't do that. You've heard that trash everywhere, you know. But there's still warfare with God. And the Holy Spirit comes and conquers that sin. He smites him. He unhorses him. He knocks him in the dust. He humbles him. The Holy Spirit of God does a work of grace in our hearts and reconciles God to us. You see that? Reconciles God to us. The Holy Spirit gives us a new nature that loves God and loves his word. I don't know everything that the book says, but if it's God's word, I believe it. I don't know everything that God declares, but if he declares it, I believe it. I don't know everything God commands, but if he commands it, I believe it. I'm not at war with God. Let God be God. I'm happy. Let Christ be the only Savior. That suits me. Let God save whom he will. That's all right with me. Let God be sovereign. That's okay with me. Is it all right with you? Well, you said no. Well, you haven't been conquered yet. You're still at war with heaven. When you look at the Bible and say, well, I don't believe that, even the Bible does say it. You're at war with heaven. Well, I'll be saved, but I'm not going to be baptized. You're at war with heaven. Well, I'll be saved, but if you think I'm going to come to church on Sunday and give up my golf game or give up this, that, you've got nothing. You're at war with heaven, old boy. You haven't been conquered yet. And when God conquers you, you'll fall in the dust just like Saul of Tarsus, and you say, Lord, what will you have me do? I'm willing. I'm in the receptive mood. I'm in the submissive mood. I'm willing to do anything you say, Lord. Just speak, your servant heareth. You see, that's reconciliation from the other direction. That's called regeneration. That's called the new birth. A lot of folks who think they know God who don't know him at all. They've got a God of their own imagination, and they're in subjection to their own God. But when the God of the Bible speaks, his people bow. They submit. All right, notice the next verse, verse 22. He will present you holy. Holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. Now, you just chew on those words a little while. You just think about those three words in reference to us, in reference to you and me. I don't claim, now you listen to what I'm saying here. I don't claim in myself any holiness. And you better not claim any either. All have sinned and come short of God's glory. All we like sheep have gone astray. The holy sovereign eye of God sees sin in you. If any man say he hath not sin, he's a liar, and the truth's not in him. If any man say he hath not sin, he makes God a liar. Now, we're not holy in ourselves. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. In the flesh no man can please God. But in Christ, he will present you holy. Our holiness is Christ. Our righteousness is Christ, with his spotless garments on. I'm as holy as his son. In Christ, I'm holy. You see what I'm trying to say? In Christ, I'm holy. In Christ, God sees no sin. He sees no ungodliness. He sees no evil. In Christ, clothed with his beauty, his garments, unblameable. Think about that. Me, unblameable. Where? In God's sight. Not in the sight of men. I can find a lot wrong with me, and you can too. I'm sure you can. But you ought to give me equal time. I expect there's some things wrong with you too. But God says unblameable in his sight. He's going to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Unaccused, the Greek word says. Unreprovable is unaccused. You know, when our Lord talked to those Pharisees who brought him the woman found in adultery, they wanted to stone her. And he got up and said, the one without sin, just go ahead and throw the first stone. And they all left, and he looked down at her and he said, woman, where are your accusers? Where are your accusers? Doth no man accuse you? Are you unaccused? She said, no man, Lord. He said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. My friend, I'm unaccused. By the law of God, by the holiness of God, by the righteousness of God, by the moral precepts of God, unreprovable in His sight. Now watch this. And He will present you. You. Think about it. Holy, unblameable, unreprovable. He will present you. You don't present yourself. You don't take yourself down to the church and have them present you, or the priest to present you, or the preacher to present you. He's going to do it. If you're His own, if you're in Christ, He'll present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in His sight through the body of His death. That's how He did it. Now watch as we close. If we continue in the faith, if we be not moved away from the gospel, these promises are to those who believe and keep on believing. Lord, lead me to seek Thee, and seeking Thee to find Thee, and finding Thee to love Thee, and loving Thee to walk all the days of my life in Thy grace.